God, a clap hands for the team, worship team you have in this church. And I'm saying this because I go to so many, many churches, and it's not how I wish that I could have, every time I speak, a worship team like this. It was beautiful, anointed, and I didn't want to forget to say this. By the way, I'm from Portugal. I was born in Lisbon. I was a symphonic orchestra for 21 years, playing this oboe. This is told that is the most difficult instrument. I don't know if it or not. And I want to bless your heart before I speak. And I will share something about me. I hope you understand my English. Maybe first time you are listening to Portuguese speaking in English. But you remind of Cristiano Ronaldo, maybe. I don't know. Anyway. I will play two songs. But by the way, I want to say that music in church, you know that, is not entertainment. Let's keep our heart in the word, in the melody. I released two albums in Asia. Two of them is instrumental. With this instrument I play like, you know, Kenny G style. You know Kenny G, right? But I play better than Kenny G. I play better than Kenny G, the oboe. By the way, where is the saxophone player? Very good. Very good, indeed. Praise God. I really enjoy. By the way, Raymond told that I was teaching in Dalat. Was not exactly that. I was, my kids were in Dalat in 2008, 2 years. But I was, sometimes they invite me to conduct the band when they need. I was not full-time in Dalat school. But I'm very, Penang is for me, beside Portugal, is the only place in the world I can call openly my home. I love Penang. And this is amazing. But by the way, I want to go to the, I have a short time, I go to the two songs. The first song is a powerful song. It's a prophetic song, Brazilian song. I translate to English. And I made a symphonic, a majestic symphonic orchestra arrangement. And it talks about the dreams of God. Never give up on the dreams of God in your life. I hope you will be blessed. Amen. If they try to kill your dreams, suffocating what is in your heart, and you feel like you are in a pit, you are hurt and you lost your vision. If they try to kill your dreams, suffocating what is in your heart, and you feel like you are in a pit, remember, never quit and never stop believing. Dreams from God will never die. Never quit and never stop fighting. Never stop to worship Him. Rise your eyes and see, God is restoring your dreams, restoring your vision. Receive, receive now your healing, receive the anointing of boldness, anointing to conquer, anointing to grow. Receive now your healing, receive the anointing, anointing of boldness, anointing to conquer, anointing to grow.
Never quit and never stop believing. Dreams from God will never die. Never quit and never stop fighting. Never stop to worship Him. Rise your eyes and see. God is restoring your dreams. Restoring your vision. Receive now your healing. Receive the anointing. Anointing of boldness. Anointing to conquer. Anointing to grow. Receive now your healing. Receive the anointing. Anointing of boldness. Anointing to conquer. Anointing to grow. Never quit. Never stop believing. Dreams from God in your heart will never die. Never quit. Never stop fighting. Never quit. Never stop believing. Rise your eyes and see. God is now restoring your dreams. God is restoring your vision. Now your healing. Receive the anointing. Anointing of boldness. Anointing to conquer. Anointing to grow.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The last song is a very dear song to me and for Malaysian people. I will share in 1 minute or two the story. When I came to Malaysia first time in 2004 to promote my album in a big church, Penang First Assembly of God, and at Christmas time, and the theme song of the event was a song from a pastor in Malaysia, Every Time I Pray. Who knows that song, Every Time I Pray? And I fell in love with the song. And I went to Portugal and I was singing in the plane. I was, every time I pray, la da la da la da. I didn't know anything more about the song. But in my heart, it's like I was singing, I need to know about this song. I want to translate this song to Portuguese. But you know what? I forgot completely about that. But God didn't forget. Didn't forget. And one day I was in Portugal, maybe after 2 months, I was in internet. I was checking, I don't know why, for Asian Christian orchestras. And you know what? In the front page, in the home page, on screen, it show up the website of Pastor Alok with the lyrics of the song, Every Time I Pray. And I came in touch with Pastor Alok and I said, I want to translate the song. And I met him in 2006. I translated and I made a majestic arrangement with symphonic orchestra. And I sing in Portuguese, but here I will sing in English. But I want you to sing with me. I want to change something prophetically. When the song says, nations turn to you, in the end, I will lead you. We will sing all together with a heart. Malaysia, turn to you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Every time I pray, I move the hand of God. My prayer does the things my hands cannot do. Every time I pray, mountains are removed. The paths are made straight. A nation turned to you. My prayer does the things my hands cannot do. Every time we pray, mountains are removed. The paths are made straight. A nation turned to you. Every time I pray, I move the hand of God. My prayer does the things my hands cannot do. Every time we pray, mountains are removed. The paths are made straight. A nation turned to you. Every time I pray, I move the hand of God. My prayer does the things my hands cannot do. Every time I pray, mountains are removed. The paths are made straight. Malaysia. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me take some my breath. Hallelujah. Wow. It's good to be in a place, literally, when we feel, and we don't see this, I don't say this because it's the normal thing to say, when we feel the smooth presence of the Holy Spirit. Because there's reverence for His presence. And I go to so many places. I'm not comparing. I don't want to compare, but even if I don't want, it's so good when we arrive in a place, even if it's the first time, it's like we feel God is here. And I believe our heart is now prepared. And even I was a musician for 21 years in this. It's the biggest National Guard symphonic band in the world. It's 125 musicians and is one of the best in the world. And I was 21 years in Lisbon playing with them. And when I entered there, I was the youngest ever with 17 years old. And I was atheist. I didn't believe God at the time. By the way, let me tell you, in Europe, 22 countries of Europe, we have less than 1% born-again Christians. When I go to speak, I always like to tell this in Malaysia. And I go around Malaysia since many years. But last year, non-stop 6 months. And this year, again, 6 months every Sunday. And I always tell people, don't take for granted what you have. Because Malaysia is under the blessing of God now. Take care, nurture the presence of God, reverence the presence of God. I always say, and sometimes I preach, not today I won't preach about that, but I preach about thirst and hunger. And I always tell the churches, please don't be late to church. Please come on time to be with God. Let's reverence His presence.
Let's be thirsty for Him again. But today I want to share something, and I'm glad Raymond didn't tell much thing about me, because I feel always uncomfortable. And I was the most, by the way, let me tell, I was the most shy person you could ever meet in your life. I'm serious. When I went into the orchestra, I was a very good musician. Among 100, we were 160 applicants for 8 available positions, and I got first place. I was a very good musician. But I was so shy that I was through life like this. Hello. It's like I was apologizing for being alive. You know what this means? Very shy. And my colleagues, what they knew about me was only I play very well. But after that, beside that, they only know good morning, good afternoon, and nothing else. So you can imagine the miracle God did in my life to be in front of you. I couldn't speak to 2 persons at the same time. And even more, one day, when I will share this in the end, but when I came to Malaysia first time to promote my album, only when I was in front with my friend, who invited me, I realized when I go on stage, I need to say something in English. And I was in panic because my English was zero, really zero. And when I came down, before I left, someone told me, Fernando, let me tell you this. One day, you will be preaching in English. And I laughed. Like Sarah. Oh, no, don't say that. I will never preach in English. Wow, I'm preaching more than 500 times. And people understand what I'm saying, right? So that's what is important. And I want to say this. What is important today, they put too much emphasis in the name of the messenger, in the promoting the speaker. But it's not about the messenger. Who cares about the messenger? It's about the message. I always tell, if you go leave this place and you don't even remember my name, I don't mind. Well, it's not easy to forget my name. Not every Sunday you have a speaker with so beautiful name, Fernando. Anyway, what the other day in KL, last year, I was in a Uber. I go to a church and I was already leaving the car. And the driver say, hey, mister, what is your name? Fernando. What? Fernando. What kind of name is that? I close the door and say, you will never forget my name. There is something in the air that night, the stars so bright. See? He never forgot my name for sure. And they said, oh, that's Fernando. What I have been telling you, Fernando, what's Fernando? Anyway, praise God. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. That's what's important. And when we come to church, we need to become with a heart to be challenged to change. And today I want to share something with you that changed my life forever. God started to reveal this word. By the way, I was a musician, but my main ministry is to preaching the word. That's what I feel, the burning heart, the passion is to speak the word. And I started to receive this revelation in 2001, 2002 in Lisbon. And never stopped. Even yesterday I was preparing the message and new things came. And it's the title we can call like, I Tell You the Truth. Jesus said this 65 times. It's recorded in the Gospels. 65 times. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Probably he said many more times. But recorded 65 times. It's like any time he wants to call your attention to something. He just say, hey, look at me. I tell you the truth. What I tell you, it will happen just as I said. We can go only one verse, if not I forget. We can go to Luke chapter 22. Just open one verse. We don't have much time, but I want to share something and I want to keep this in your mind and heart, because I believe today God wants to break the power of arguing in our mind. We will leave this place knowing for sure that the Word of God is absolutely truth. Don't let your mind go anywhere, please. Don't sleep. If I see someone sleep, I will go to you. I'm serious. I feel, how can someone sleep, listen to the Word of God? It's such a lack of respect. If I see you sleep, I go to you. And I continue to speak and say, brother, what time is it? And I go to, don't sleep. Don't let your mind go anywhere. Leave your thoughts for sweet and sour pork and tofu fa later, okay? Now this is the greatest food. I'm a bit fun, but it's very serious. Because if someone asks you outside, young people, if someone asks you outside, so many challenge, why you say Jesus is the truth? Why you say your religion is the truth and not others? What do you say? If they give me time, I will share this. Jesus was saying, I tell you the truth. He was always the 3 years and a half. His ministry was to break the power of arguing mind in the disciples and those who were listening. Why he was saying, I tell you the truth? He was creating trust. By the way, thank you leaders of this church for trusting me, the pulpit. You didn't, when we say someone, I love you, is a very strong sentence. Everyone wants to listen, I love you. But when someone tell you, I trust you, they didn't tell me straight, I trust you. But they gave me the opportunity without knowing me. It's like they are saying, I trust you. And it's a very powerful sentence when someone tell you or you tell someone, I trust you, right? I trust you. And Jesus was building this for the disciples to, no doubt, they can trust Jesus completely and put their lives in his hands. I want to share this. What was the first words Satan spoke to humans, to Eve? Come on, this is a school. The first. Don't go there to check. But what was the first? Satan didn't come and say, Hi, Eve. Oh, you look so beautiful today. How are you? No. He came and he said, Did God really say? Eve, for the first time in history, a seed of doubt was planted in human heart. And he said, Eve, why are you sure? Are you sure that what God says is the truth? And for the first time, Eve, human beings start to doubt. And through the history, until today, until the end, the only weapon Satan has is the seed of doubt. Is the sin God hates the most. It provokes him. Not believing in his words, in his promises. And let me tell you, we, all Christians around the world, we don't say it, we don't believe. But our priorities, our decisions in life, I'm speaking to myself, show that we really don't believe completely that what God says is the truth. And Jesus came, even in the Old Testament, we see in Exodus chapter 17, verse 7, Moses was tired of the complaining of the people, and the Bible says, he called the place Meribah, which means arguing, because the people was always complaining, and they said, Is God among us or not? The seed of doubt, after they saw amazing miracles. We arrived the New Testament. Jesus comes in the chapter 3 of Matthew, verse 17. The Bible says that Jesus went to be baptized. And when he came out of the water, pay attention. Jesus heard the Father saying, This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I have great pleasure, or in whom I listen to him. And he said, Jesus heard, You are my Son. Next verse, chapter 4 of Matthew, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit to go to be tempted by the devil in the desert. After 40 days, in the weakest moment, weakest point of Jesus, Satan comes. And what he says? The same. He says, if you are the Son of God, do this. Are you sure? Why are you so weak? Are you sure you are the Son of God? The same strategy. And Jesus defeated him with the word. It is written. If my Father tells me it is written, period. And he spent his entire ministry through 3 years and a half to proving he was the true God, because people can trust whatever he says, it will happen. It always happened the way he said it. Now I want to ask you this. How do we build trust among us? How do we build trust? Imagine with Raymond. How can we say we trust? Only in this. I know him only since yesterday. But how can I say already I start to build trust? I cannot say I trust him 100%. It's impossible. We just met yesterday. But why we say? Because we just said this. My phone was to be repaired. I didn't have a phone, but we arranged that. At 12:30, he would be at the hotel waiting for me. At exactly 12:30, he was there. That's how we build trust. Whatever we say, we will do it. Now imagine this. But Jesus took this to a such an amazing level. Sorry, I didn't look so much to those. Oops. I didn't forget about you. But Jesus took this to a next level. Imagine now, I go with Pastor Jeremy. And he takes me after we go somewhere to the shopping mall there. And when he's about to park the car, please pay attention. I turn to him and I say, Pastor Jeremy, I tell you the truth. Don't park your car here because at 2:15 afternoon, a lightning from heaven will strike this tree and this tree will smash your car. And he looked at me and he, can you say, what are you talking about? Can you say again? I tell you the truth and I'm serious. At 2:15, it will happen just as I said. And you don't understand. You think, you ask, but are you drunk or what? Fernando, only God can know these things. But anyway, we forgot about this. We go to have our lunch. You already forgot this. He thought I was a bit. And when we come back, it's 2:20. And when we go past through that place, he look and he see a lot of people around the place I told you not to put the car, park the car. And he just say, Fernando, what happened there? Let's go there to see what happened. And I tell, Brother Jeremy, I told you the truth. What time is it? 2:20. I told you at 2:15, when lightning from heaven came, strike. And he cannot believe. But he goes there. And he received the exact report that what I said was true. You are so serious now. That's exactly what Jesus did for 3.5 years. To break the power in the arguing in our mind. One day someone came to Peter and said, you need to pay the taxes. And Peter went to Jesus and said, Jesus, we don't have money. And Jesus told Peter, I will use a bit the life of Peter today. I will extend a little bit more than 12, okay? Until to Peter. Peter, go to the sea. Throw your fishing rod. The first fish you catch, open its mouth. You will find 2 coins. Pay my taxes and your taxes. Wah! And you know, and Peter went. And it happened just as he had said. Now I want to share this. This will blow your mind. Because we leave this place today with our mind completely, we defeat the spirit of arguing about the Word of God. Peter was always this kind of guy. He was always adding something to the topic. You always have a better idea than Jesus. I will share a few things just for you to understand what kind of person we are. Not only Peter, we are like this kind of people. One day Jesus took the three closest friends to in Matthew 17 to the Mount of Transfiguration, known as the. But look at this. The Bible is not a book started with once upon a time in Judea. It's not once upon a time. It happened exactly. And you need to read the Bible, and it's like you need to let the Holy Spirit put you there. And now Jesus invites the three closest friends. They go to the mountain. They didn't know what was about to happen. But suddenly they see something no one ever saw in life. No one ever saw. Jesus was transfigured in a heavenly body, shining. And not only that, he was walking and talking with Moses and Elijah. You can imagine if it was you and me. I was like, John and James, they were like speechless. But Peter, if he was like some pockets, he was like, oh, hey Jesus, it's good to be here. Do you want me to do 3 tents? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And the proof, he was completely on the flesh, completely out of stone. The Bible says, not me, while Peter still speaking, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." It was the most polite way of God to tell to Peter, "Shut up. It's not the time to talk." One day, Matthew 16, for you to understand what kind of person Jesus was dealing and to make him the leader. Because all of us, we are like that. We always have a better idea than God. Jesus sent the disciples, and when they came back, Jesus asked, "Who the people say I am?" And they said, "Oh, they say you were a prophet from the Old Testament. They say you were Jeremiah, you were Elijah." They stop. Silence. Jesus said, "You, who do you say I am?" No one say anything. Peter, for the first time in his life, he was in the Spirit. Look at this. He said, "I look at you and I say, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus was so happy. Look, Jesus was the first time he was seeing Peter saying something worth. And he came, but Jesus came to Peter and gave one of the most powerful prophecies ever. And he praised to Peter and said, "I tell you the truth, Peter. You are Peter. I will build my church upon you. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it." Wow. Amazing. Among the others. Look at this. Among the others. Jesus was saying, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And now Peter was at that time, that kind of person cannot stand a praise. People sometimes cannot stand. They start to talk different to the others. And Peter was like that. The Bible doesn't say, but I know it was like that. You know why? Because look at this. I prove to you. But now Jesus start to talk about he's going to Jerusalem. He goes to hand it to the hands of the Jews. He will be killed. And Peter, because now he was like floating, thinking, "Wow, I cannot believe. I will be the second. Jesus will be the first. I will be the second. The others, they need to come to me. They need to obey. They listen what Jesus said about me." And he start to walk now a bit more important than the other 11. But now he start to listen to Jesus saying, "Oh, you will be killed." He could not believe. He just received a kingdom and now he's losing everything again. And Jesus is speaking. Look at this. Jesus is speaking. And the Bible says, Jesus came to him while he was speaking and said, "Come with me." He took Jesus apart. The Bible says, not me. He took Jesus apart. The others stood there, took Jesus apart. And Jesus went with him and started to reprimand him. Wow. Unbelievable. And he saw so many times, every time Jesus says something, always happened. I tell you the truth. Go there. And they found just as he had said many times. But now he feels more important. And he reprimands Jesus and said, "What? Jesus, you do not know what you are talking about. No way. I don't let something like this happen to you." Wow. Arguing. And Jesus turned to him because Jesus never had any problems to hurt feelings of anyone. And today the leaders are afraid to hurt feelings. We need preachers that speak the truth in love. In love, but the truth. That's what I see around all churches, many churches. Everyone is afraid to tell the truth. That's why sin is rampant in the church. We need to tell the truth. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Satan, go away! Now you are thinking like man thinks, not like God thinks." This is the Peter. Jesus already said, "I tell you the truth. You will be the leader." And we continue. Just one more of Peter. At the end of his ministry, after 3 years and a half, the most solemn moment, they are together in the Holy Supper. And they knew that one of them need to wash the feet of the others. But no one wants to be the least among the others. They are very important. Because there's the work of a slave. to wash the feet of the others. And Jesus, with the most amazing act of humility of all history, you cannot imagine what was, to see someone that was for them more important than the Roman, the emperor. And Jesus, without saying a word, he took a towel and a basin of water and started to wash the feet of these disciples. They were ashamed. They say no word. They understood. Jesus broke in 20 minutes, 12 minutes, all competition, all kind of jealousy, everything in one act. But when he arrived to Peter, he couldn't stand. Again. And he said again, Jesus, you do not know what you are doing. You will never wash my feet. In a way, he was saying, what are you doing, Jesus? You do not know what you're doing. And Jesus said, I guess Jesus at that time, he was losing the patience already, almost. And he said, Peter, if I cannot wash your feet, you have no part with me. Oh, Master, if that's so, you can wash my feet, my hands and my head. That's the Peter. Now, I want to move on to the most dramatic time, and I need to move fast. But before that, let me tell you this. They were used to see things like this. In Luke chapter 22, I was about to read, I didn't read. Luke 22, verse 15, 10 to 15. Jesus sent them and said, go to the city, and you will find a man. You will meet a man. Look at this, the details. Jesus was saying this all the time. You go, you will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. In that time, man does not carry water, only women. So Jesus was saying, you will see something you never saw. You go and you find this man, follow to his house, and go to the upper room, follow him, and prepare the Passover there. Wow. And the Bible says, they went and they found just as he had said. It's there in the Bible. Just as he had said. In chapter 19, verse 32 of Luke, the same. Jesus said, go to the city, you will find a donkey. Look, this is amazing. I am goosebumps with this. You will find a donkey. The details. And tie the donkey and bring it to me. If anyone, or some translation, if the owner asks what you are doing, just say it, the Lord needs it. And they go, and the Bible says, and they found just as he had said. Jesus was proving that he knows everything about the future. That's how we break the power of arguing in their minds. He could trust that he knows everything. And now we arrive at the end. Matthew 26, verse 31 onwards. Amazing this. Jesus is together with them. And he said this. I tell you the truth. Tonight, all of you will desert me. All of you. Tonight, all of you. Only Peter spoke. Master, no way. And he said this. Even if all of them will desert you, I will never do that. Wow, can you imagine if you are one of the other disciples? Wow. I look at, hey Peter, speak by yourself. Even if the others will desert, I will never. Remember, you prophesied to me. I'm Peter. I will never deny you. And Jesus turned to him. And he said, I tell you the truth. Tonight, you, not the others, you will deny that you even know me 3 times before the rooster crows. And Peter continued to argue. Master, no way! I'm ready to die with you. At this point, Jesus say no words. You know exactly what happened. Now I want you to turn with me with Luke 22, verse 61. One of my favorite verses on the Bible. For me, the most amazing act of love of Jesus. In this detail, I don't know if you ever noticed this. In verse 60, I read, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was speaking, still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him. This is amazing. Jesus never looked side of the man that he chose to be the leader. He was already arrested. Many people around him, Jesus, saying the most worst words. He was probably bleeding and in pain, but he never looked side. And he was waiting the moment so precisely whilst he was denying the rooster crows. And Jesus looked at him, and Peter looked at him, at Jesus. In a distance, maybe the brothers at the end of the room, they could understand. They were looking to each other. Jesus didn't say words. He was not sarcastic. He just looked to Peter. And Peter, the Bible said, remembered. It happened exactly how he said. For the first time, he understood what it means all these 3 years when Jesus was saying, I tell you the truth, Peter, I tell you the truth. And you were born again in that moment. And he left the place weeping bitterly. Now I move fast. In John 21, when you know exactly what happened, exactly what Jesus said. Now they meet in John 21, verse 13 to 18. Amazing. Jesus meet with them. All of them deny him, deserted him. And when they meet, Jesus is serving the breakfast. They are silent. They do not know what to say. And now is the time for Jesus to deal with Peter. And at the end of the breakfast, Jesus come to Peter and said, Peter, I want to talk with you. Now pay attention to this. Peter, do you love me? Master, Jesus said the first time, do you love me more than them? Amazing. He didn't condemn him. He just go to the, do you love me more than them? Remember, Peter, what you said a few days ago? And I believe this time Peter didn't say, Master, you know that I love you more than them. No way. Now he's like, probably cannot even look to the eyes of Jesus and say, Master, Jesus, you know I love you. Peter, look at me again. Do you love me? All my life I heard that preachers saying that Jesus asked 3 times to remind Peter that he denied 3 times. It's not my plan. I will explain. Second time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, you know I love you. Peter is not the right answer. Peter, again, do you love me? And finally, Peter understood and he decided to surrender finally. And he said, Jesus, you know everything. Is there in verse 17, right? 7. You know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus, you know everything. I surrender. Now I understand what you mean when you say, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. You know everything. And this time, for the last time, Jesus came to Peter and prophesied in verse 18. 21:18. And he said, for the last time, I tell you the truth. And at this point, I believe Peter was with his eyes closed and he was shaken. When he listened again, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. For the first time, he understands what it means. And you won't lose one single word of that prophetic words. And Jesus said, Peter, when you were young, you were going where you want. But when you are old, someone will take you to a place you don't want to go. Remember this word. When you are, everyone say old. You understand why I'm saying this? Oh my. Jesus never again said, I tell you the truth. And now they start to preach the gospel. We start the book of Acts. But they never spoke to a Gentile. They never entered to a house of a Gentile. The prophecy Jesus gave Peter on Matthew 16, you will be the leader. Yeah, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, didn't fulfill yet. But in Acts chapter 10, Peter is praying and he has a vision. And God revealed what the vision means. At the same time, the Spirit come to him and say, Peter, go down. Because I have sent three men, they are looking for you. And the Holy Spirit told him, go with them, doubting nothing. You can read in chapter 10, verse 20. Go with them. Peter, remember, don't let your mind doubt. And Peter went to the house of the Cornelius for the first time in history, breaking rules of culture, of what a people will think about everything, against his natural mind. And he goes because he doubt nothing. He learned a lesson. No, not arguing. And when he entered the house of Cornelius in verse 29, he said to Cornelius, Cornelius, you know it's against my law to enter, to be with you. But when God told me, go, I came without objection. Praise God. And to finish the last verse, Acts chapter 12, there's a persecution to the church. Herod kills James, the brother of John, and they arrest Peter. But they arrest Peter for what? Tell me. To give him a present? To kill him. And the Bible says, Peter was sleeping. At that time he can't sleep. Peter was sleeping, surrounded by guards, in the worst conditions, knowing the next day, probably, he would present to be killed. And he was sleeping. I ask, how many of you could sleep in the night before you know that probably you will be killed in the next day? How many? Sincerely. I cannot. We will be all night praying, asking forgiveness of every sin. But Peter was sleeping. Why? I never heard this from anyone, but I believe he never forgot, never, never, to the rest of his life, the last words of Jesus. When he said, I tell you the truth, when you are old. At this time he was 25. And Peter knew, his master told him, you will one day, you will reach an old age. No Roman Empire, no disease, nothing would be able to kill him. Because his master told him, I tell you the truth, you will be an old man. And it happened exactly the way Jesus said it. Praise God for this. I feel goosebumps, and I preach this many times, but it's amazing to understand the precision and what Jesus is talking to the church today, to trust your life. We can sit in the church for 20 years in the same chair. We believe in God. We are so-called Christians. But we'll never come to the point to really know the heart of Jesus. To trust completely. We always have a better idea. I have a message called Good Ideas or God's Idea. We always have a better idea than God. And now I will share how I came here. How I ended here. Because it's a compliment for this message. When I was in Portugal, I was already starting this ministry 2001. It's called Ambassadors of Christ Ministry. Doing exactly what I'm doing now. I was going through churches in Portugal. Anyone who accept me to play and to preach. And in 2004, I was in the orchestra. And my friend was my youth leader in Portugal. He went to Africa and to New Zealand. And he was a very well-known evangelist. And he was in New Zealand. He invited me. He said, he called me from New Zealand, said, Fernando, you know what? I will go to speak in Christmas in Malaysia and in an island, a beautiful island called Penang. And I remember I just said, Malaysia? Where is Malaysia? Well, I know it was in Asia, but where is Malaysia? Penang. I never heard of Penang. Fernando, you will love Penang. It's a beautiful island. You come with me. You have your CDs. You play. I will preach. And you come with me. And I was like a kid. I was so excited. Yes, I go to Malaysia. Yes, I go with you to Malaysia. Of course, I need to pay my ticket, but I go to Malaysia. But I forgot that I was in the army. I was in the Symphonic National Guard Orchestra. I already had my holidays. This was already September. But I go to my major, my chief. This is in the army. It's a music, but it's in the army. So I go to him, and in the army, they can be very rude. And we need to do all these kind of things. And he was doing something. I said, my major, you know what? I received an invitation to go to Malaysia. And I would like to go to Malaysia. And he even looked at me and said, Brito, good for you, but I cannot let you go. You already have your holidays, and I cannot take that responsibility to let you go. And I was about to, but my major, Brit, there's no but. In the army, there's no but. You don't have opinion. And I was like trying to, Brito, maybe next year. Tell your friend, maybe next year. And I turned, I went home. I was very like, I don't know, disappointed, sad. But I was to pray. And I called my friend in New Zealand and said, oh, Luis, thank you very much, but maybe next year. I cannot go. Let's plan for next year. But you know what? When God has something, and I put the phone down and I start to pray in tongues. I was praying, this, but not expecting anything. You know when we are praying, but our mind is in the food, is in other things. It's just, but God is so merciful. When I was praying, the Holy Spirit reminded me a dream that He gave me 2 years before that moment, around 2 years before that moment. And that dream was only this. I was crossing with my instrument. I was not the main preacher. I was crossing a big church from the back. And I was coming with my friend side by side, and we sit together in front. In that moment, I knew only God could know 2 years before that my friend would invite me. And in that moment, I was like Peter. I know I will go to Malaysia. Well, but now I need to face my chief again. And our mind continues to doubt. How can you? No, you cannot go. You need to prepare. This dream is for next year. All these kind of things. I go to my major. I enter and my major, I want to talk with you again. He said, about Malaysia? Yes. Brito, I already told you what I have to say. And this is in the army. I was in front of him and I say, he was not looking at me and I say, can you please look at me? Only then I realized what I said. And he look at me and I say, let me go. I would like to go. This is unique. It was the first time in history. This is good for the National Guard. It's good for the country. I would like to go. And he said, Brito, I cannot let you go. And you know very well that. But you can do one thing. You ask them to send the official invitation to me. And I will send to our general. I'm talking about the commander of the National Guard, the general for 26,000 men. He's the commander. I will send to him. And he will decide. And he said, he's a wicked man. But he said, your God help you. And I said, amen. Anyway, I went home. But you know, even inside we are sure. You know what I mean? Because God already said. And when God wants you to give you assurance, He says something that you cannot doubt. But your mind continues to bring doubts. Continues. It's like, it's not for now, it's for next year. Now, the dream is not for now, it's for next year. And I was like that. After 2 weeks, he called me to his office. And it was like a movie. He was walking in the office with a paper in his hand like this. Brito, I don't know what you did. But you know what? I knew already, but you know what? Our general, he sees the approval for you to go to Malaysia. And not only that, you will represent the nation and the National Guard, so you will go with expenses paid. Wow! Praise God. And I came, I was very green in Asian things. I thought, and I'm not joking, that in Asia, everyone is like this. When I arrived to Malaysia, I thought, oh, it's not true. So I arrived in Malaysia, it was Christmas 2004. On the 26th, 2004, I was in the Evergreen Hotel, Gurney Drive, 16th floor, I never forgot. And I was preparing, and suddenly I see the building moving like this. And this is me. It was like, what is this? I continued to put my tie to prepare, and I said, Fernando, where are you now? You are not in Europe. You are in Asia. Okay, in Asia, in Japan, they have earthquakes and they continue to work. This is normal. So I continue to think it's normal, but the building continues to... Anyway, it stopped. After a while, pastor's wife called me in panic. Alexander said, Fernando, where are you? You are the only one who are not here. Where are you? Alexander, I'm in my room. But you didn't you feel it? Yes, like with his voice. I felt it, but I think it's normal. So I said, no, it's not normal, come down. When I came down, I was the only one left in the hotel. Praise God. But what I want to go is, I went to the meeting. We didn't know what happened at the time. The wave came later. So I went to the meeting. I was to sing one song. And I was already on the pulpit in Shangri-La. And there's 1,000 people in front of me. And my English was zero. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit says, change the song. And I was fighting in that second, you know, I cannot. The song is in Portuguese. I don't have translation to English. And the Holy Spirit, change the song. Change the song. And I suddenly decided, my brothers and sisters, that's the only word I know to say at the time always, brothers and sisters. And can I sing a song in Portuguese? And they were so excited. Yes, please, in Portuguese, yes. But before I sang the song, I told, but I will let you know what the song means, literally taken from Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2, that says, when you cross through the fire, you won't be burned. When you go through the waters, they won't submerge you. And it was the time the wave came upon Penang, and we were worshiping God. But this is to tell that God knows everything. And when I arrived in Portugal, my friends came to me and said, wow, you were in the tsunami. There, didn't you were afraid? And I was saying, afraid? No. I was more secure in the middle of the tragedy, but in the center of the will of God, than you crossing this road outside the will of God. He didn't understand this language, but anyway, I told anyway. By the way, I was the only born-again Christian among 125 wicked men, musicians there. And now I finish with this. It's too late. I start to feel in my heart, because I was already decided I want to serve God full time, and I was in this amazing job. And God start to stir my heart. And one day I decide, because it was a prophecy, that I will arrive in Malaysia on 7 July 2007. And I start to believe in that. And I start to make arrangements. I fought with the government to have my retirement. They said no for 3 times. Even was my right to have it. And one day I stood up, 13 February 2007, and I stood up and I went to my chief and I resigned. And I said, I cannot stand any longer. I guess in the morning someone was praying this verse. Perhaps for a time like this I were born. If I die, I die. That's what my God. I cannot stand any longer. I resigned. No retirement. We came to Malaysia with family to arrive on 777 with no money to go back. I sold my car to buy the tickets. I arrived in Malaysia. Every month we go to Thailand to stamp the passports, and I start to go, be invited to go to preach. But before that, we were in the hotel preparing the 6th of July to go to the airport, packing things. And my kids, I have 2 wonderful kids, Gabrielle and Gabriella, 19 and 18. And they were jumping. They were 8 years old. My son was jumping. And we were packing and say, Gabrielle, stop. Don't do that. We need to get up. And he was jumping with the sister. And suddenly, he fell from the bed with his head on the floor. So bad that we could even listen to the smashing. We run, and when we pick him, he start to vomiting. And it's now the time my brother was coming to go to the airport for the check-in. And he started vomiting, and he started to be sleepy. We tried to keep him awake, and we could not. And he was like falling asleep. And worse than that, we ask questions, and what he says make no sense anymore. It was the most horrible day of my life. It's like a panic took over. My mind was like immediately, go to the hospital, go down. He won't wake up anymore. You know, these kind of voices immediately. And you tried to keep him awake, and we could not. And he fell asleep. But we knew something bad happened in his brain. But you know, in these moments, our mind take over. But the Holy Spirit continues to speak if you listen. And there's a smooth voice. They say it's here. I don't know if it's here. It's a smooth voice that says, I tell you the truth. You will arrive Malaysian 777. But we don't listen to this voice. We are in panic. We do not know what to do. It's like if I go to the hospital, I lose everything. I cannot imagine. But my son is there, cannot keep him awake. But the Holy Spirit continued, trust me, I tell you the truth. You will arrive in Malaysia. It's like, remind me the prophecy. And in an act of, I don't know what kind of act was that, I decided to go to the airport. We took the son in our arms and we took to the airport. We put him in 2 chairs in the cafe. And he was sleeping. People were coming to say goodbye. I don't remember anything. We were like dormant. But you know what? We were praying in tongues. We were praying all the time. And suddenly, my son stood up from the chair. And he said like, "Dad, Mom, where is my sister? I'm hungry. I want to eat something." Like nothing had happened before. Praise God. And we arrived Malaysia 7th of July 2007. Praise God. My friends, God is faithful. But there's a price to pay. Don't let your mind run wild. Obey. Many times my friends, my colleagues from the orchestra, they were telling all names, "What are you doing, Brit? You, in 8 years you have your retirement. What are you doing?" My parents were furious with me. They were saying, "Oh, you are crazy. Your kids are in school. Where are you going?" My friends, we cannot explain these things. But I cannot imagine my life if I decided to follow my good ideas. I released two albums, a book. I have gone to hundreds and hundreds of churches. I feel that if I die tomorrow, I'm the most happy man. I did. I'm free. You know what I mean? I'm free. Praise God. I finish here. I don't want to take longer. I just want to finish with a prayer that we can... Can we stand up just before I give the... Hallelujah. Praise God. But I want you to keep this. Don't turn and go home. And this, like someone already today said, this is not only about Sunday. The word, when we apply to our heart, it changes our life forever. A word from God can change our life forever. And when we leave this place, let's keep the word. Forget my name. It's not the word of a man. It's the word of God. Reveal it. Don't doubt. Many of you, I know, you are procrastinating to make decisions. Young people, you have dreams in your heart. And you are like caught in this culture. All of us, we have. What parents will think. What Chinese culture will think. What Malaysia will think. My friends, this is what I'm talking about. The most important thing, I was so happy with this church today because everything was said was exactly what I think the same. It's focused on evangelism. It's focused on reverence. I arrived half an hour before, people already praying. We don't see these everywhere. I went to a church, I don't say names. But this is the truth. I was working two years full-time in a big church in KL as a music director, orchestra director. And my friends, every time the service starts, only 25% of the people is there. They were arriving late and they still have time to send the last message in WhatsApp and Facebook and Messenger. And musicians, well, the word is spoken, they are playing games. Take care of what you have here. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we are in your presence. Hallelujah, Lord. Your word says that you are close to those who have a contrite and humble heart, those who tremble at your word. God, we tremble at your word, Lord. We want to leave this place with total assurance that this word is like burning in our heart. We will never be the same. We have no doubt anymore, any longer, that your word is absolutely truth. God, help us to overcome doubt, arguing. God, we believe the Holy Spirit is right now, right here, is reviving dreams. He's putting fire in the heart to go for what you know is the calling of God in your life. Holy Spirit, take over now. Don't be in a hurry, please. Don't be in a hurry. Our minds are so accelerated lately. We cannot even stop 15 minutes in the morning without cell phones to be in the presence of God. Don't let your mind go anywhere. The Holy Spirit, I believe the word is for every one of us, starting with me. God, help us. Forgive our excuses to not have time to you. Forgive our busy, busy, busy life, Lord. God, we want to be with you. We want to take this word literally. Now we know what it means when Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." It means I am the truth. Trust me. Trust me. Holy Spirit, take over our mind, our emotions right now. As we leave this place, we will never be the same again. We will be sensitive to discern what is right and what is almost right. God, give us accuracy in our thoughts. A thirst and hunger to go to your word. to cry out, to be thirsty again, O Lord. Because you are the truth. You are the true God. You are the true God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I pray, I'm humble in humility, that your hand be upon this church, Lord. They are precious. They are precious. They never take for granted what they have. They continue to grow in knowledge of you. They can move from believing to know you, believing to know more and more. And I speak for a spirit of boldness to take action. A spirit of boldness as you leave this place. It will be so clear what God wants for you to do, to be. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God.